Happy Sabbath. I'd like to thank the Lord for the privilege to worship Him this morning. I'd like to welcome also those of you that are online, streaming live, all the way from Honolulu in the Philippines. I'd like to welcome you to Seventh-day Sabbath, Sabbath Divine Service. Again, I'd like to thank the Lord for allowing me to be back. I've been gone for a while, and I'm going to be gone again next week and the following week. But praise the Lord's allowing us to share this word. And I believe we're living in a time now where we need to hear the truth. Amen? I have an aunt that's here from Hilo. There she is, okay. Hi, Auntie. Welcome from the island of the Big Island. We're going to be blessed this morning as we look into the Word of God. I'm going to kneel so that the Lord can guide my thoughts and that the words I speak will come directly from His throne of grace. You can join me if you want. Our Father in heaven, we humbly come before Your throne of grace to thank You, Lord, for the blessings that You have continually blessed us with, allowing us to be here to worship You in spirit and in truth. This morning, Father, I pray that as we look into Your Word, that we may have clarity of mind to discern spiritual and heavenly things, to know the position and the work that we are in. For we know we are not living in normal times. And help us not to get caught up in stagnation or a neutral position, but to understand what is our job and what is our work. So, Father, I pray and ask for Your guidance. Guide my thoughts, my words, and that every word I speak will come from the throne of heaven. Guide and direct now and be our invited guests. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he is the owner of our insurance company, and I gave him a book on who's really behind COVID-19, and he looked at the book, and he says, good, I'm going to read it. I'm leaving to the Dominican Republic tomorrow, and so I'm going to read it while I'm on the plane. I said, praise the Lord. And I said, the book actually starts off on Matthew 24, where the disciples came to Christ and said, what are the signs of your coming? And you know the account in Matthew 24 where Jesus says, prior to verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, where He says, this is what's going to happen before I come. There's going to be disease, pestilence, earthquakes. We know that chapter. But in verse 4, He specifically tells the disciples, take heed, let no man deceive you. And so we started to talk, and I shared the book with him, and I said, it'll start off with those chapters, and then it'll tell you more about who's really behind this pandemic. And so he started to ask me questions. And I finally realized that even though he was my insurance man, that he said he's been reading the Bible. I said, good. So, okay. He said, yeah, I've been looking at my Bible. I said, good, good. And then we started to talk about the second coming of Christ. And I told him that I believe that Christ is coming soon. You have a text for me? Come on. You have a text for me? Okay, there's a lot of texts. But I said, you got a text for me? And he said, no, I don't know any text. I said, well, that's okay. So you don't believe that Jesus is coming? He says, no, I don't believe that Jesus is coming. I said, wait a minute. You read the Bible and you don't believe that Jesus is coming? He says, no, I don't believe it. I said, so what is it based on? What is your belief based on that you don't believe that Jesus is coming since you've been reading your Bible? He says, well, it's history. History will repeat itself. And I said, okay, that's true. That's true. But you know what history is? His story. It's not from, it is written. And so I told him, so if you're basing it on history, then it's not absolute truth. You see, my friends, we have to believe in absolute truth. And where does absolute truth come from? The Bible. Amen? The Bible is absolute truth. Not on CNN, not on MSNBC, not on Fox News, not on CBS, but on the Word of God. And he looked at me and he said, oh, okay, that makes sense. I said, the problem with our world today is that we're following mainstream media narrative, which they're just telling you stories after stories after stories, to the point when it first started back in March, now we're in October. Who would have ever known it would have been until October? So I was able to talk with him for about 30 minutes. And this, I've known this man for a long time, since I've been working there. But he's got his little insurance company there on the side. And, you know, I have to deal with these people because I work on their buildings. But, you know, as I started to think about it, I didn't want to argue with the man, because that's not our mission. Our mission is to tell him the truth. Amen? And after all said and done, he said, I am going to read this and see if this is really true. So I'm praying that the man, the Lord God of heaven, will work on his heart so that he can see the truth as it is. And there's many people today that need to hear this truth. And who's going to give them the truth? Who is? Is it the Jehovah's Witness? Is it the Baptist? God raised up a certain group of people to give this message. And so this morning, I want to tell you the truth. Is that okay? All right. I entitled it this morning, Your Case is Coming Up. Do you realize that everyone here this morning has a case? Whether you like it or not, it's coming up. And I looked up that word case, and it means, from the Webster's Dictionary, it means a particular state or condition or circumstance that befall a person. So whatever situation your life is in this morning, or whatever condition it is, you're going to have to face this soon. Your case is coming up. And I've entitled it Sanctuary in brackets, because really, we're going to look at the sanctuary. And you know that the sanctuary is being attacked today? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 8. And by the way, when I speak on the sanctuary, I'm not going into deep details on the sanctuary message. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pick a couple of points, then we're going to look at it, because time does not allow me to go through the whole subject. But the Lord has allowed us to see a certain part of the sanctuary message that you and I have to understand, because it is vital to our salvation. Are you there? Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. And he said unto me, and everyone should know this already. We're just reviewing this morning. Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So what is the cleansing of the sanctuary? You should know this, but we're going to review it for the sake of, for those that don't know. What is the cleansing of the sanctuary? I got this statement from The Great Controversy, page 417, and 4:19. I am setting the groundwork of our study of your case. It's coming up. What is the cleansing of the sanctuary? That there was such a service in connection with the earthly sanctuary is stated in the Old Testament scripture. See, the problem of 1844, and you Bible students know that in 1844, the Millerites believed that the earth was the what? And that the sanctuary was going to be cleansed here. But can there be anything in heaven to be cleansed? In Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm quoting from the Great Controversy, page 417 and 419. In Hebrews 9, the cleansing of both the earthly and the heavenly sanctuary is plainly taught. Very simple. But yet so profound. And the sanctuary message is being attacked this morning. In Adventism. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Adventism, as we're going to see. Once a year, on the Great Day of Atonement, the priests enter the most holy place for the cleansing of the sanctuary. The work there performed completed the yearly round of ministration. I wish I had more time, but I'm setting this stage on your case. It's coming up. So I went to look at Maranatha, page 247. 247. She says this, our prophet, she says, and we should be earnest students of prophecy. We should not rest until we become intelligent in regard to the subject of the sanctuary, which is brought out in the visions of Daniel and John. This subject, what subject? The sanctuary. This subject sheds great light on our position. Listen, our present position and work. So we're going to look at our position and our work. And we need to understand this great light. So this subject sheds great light on our present position and work. And it gives us unmistakable proof that God has led us in our past experience. So when we look into the sanctuary when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, that Day of Atonement came once a year. I'm going to summarize it. You were to bring your sins daily, but at the end of the year, the only people that were to participate in the Day of Atonement were the ones putting sin out of the camp. And if you weren't putting sin out of the camp, you were not able to participate in the yearly service. So this subject sheds great light on our present position and work and gives us unmistakable proof that God has led us in the past. So we understand that in 1844, Christ went into the most holy place. Amen? We all understand that. Christ then entered into the most holy apartment of the heavenly sanctuary and is there performing the closing work of his priestly office. So the work that's happening in heaven, his mediatorial work, is about to close. And in fulfillment of the words of the angel to the prophet Daniel, the 2300 days had been found to begin in what year? 457 BC. And ended when? Okay? Turn with me to Daniel. You're there already in Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. We're looking at your case is coming up. Starting at verse 24. Daniel 9, 24. 70 weeks are determined upon the thy people and upon the holy city to finish transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem, and to the unto the Messiah and the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the walls even in troublous times. Are you there? Daniel chapter 9, looking at verse 24 and 25. So we understand that the 2000 days began in 457 and ended at 1844. Then she said, Ellen White says, in Maranatha, page 247, then said the angel, shall the sanctuary be cleansed? You know, I thought about that and I said, I am not going to be able to expound this in the next 30 minutes. But what we're going to look at this morning is verse 24. Look at verse 24. Are you there? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city, to finish what? Transgression. To make an end of what? Sins. And to make what? Reconciliation for iniquity. To make an end. To finish transgression. To make an end of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Your case and my case is coming up. We need to end transgression. We need to end sin. We need to be reconciled. We're living in the day of atonement, and these words here this morning, we need to reconsider. She tells us in 93 of Maranatha, in 1844, our great high priest entered the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary to begin the work of the investigative judgment. This is our truth here. It has been established. These pillars of truth stand firm as the eternal hills. Amen? Our faith in reference to the message of the first, second, and third angels' message was correct. The great waymarks we have passed are immovable. This sanctuary message is immovable. Amen? We need to understand this. Why? Because Satan and his host is trying to tear down the sanctuary message. He does not want us to understand what is our position and our work in this great day of the coming of our Lord. It is our foundation. Yes, thank you, Jerry. The great waymarks we have passed are immovable. Although, she says, continues, although the host of hell may try to tear them from their foundation. And you're seeing it today. She even makes this quotation in Review and Herald, May 25, 1905. She says, in the future, deception of every kind is to arise, and we want solid ground for our feet. Are you on solid ground? Are you on a firm foundation? We need to be on a firm foundation. About a month ago, I gave that presentation on our firm foundation. And she says that we need to be on a solid foundation. We want solid pillars for the building. Not one pin is to be removed from that which the Lord has established. The enemy will bring in false theories, such as the doctrine that there is no sanctuary. Since Desmond Ford came into the picture, he just brought in these theories. And many theologians today don't believe in the investigative judgment that we are in. I know. You know why I know? Because I was up in Portland, Oregon, at that convention, and this was a group of Adventists, that believe no sanctuary. I was there. I saw it for myself. They don't even believe in the Sabbath. They keeping of the Sabbath. They just believe it's a nice, good day. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. And you are seeing it today. Where we shall find safety. Where shall we find safety unless it is the truth that the Lord has given to this church in the last 50 years? So we're going to look at truth this morning. Amen? By going back to Daniel chapter 8, verse 24, 9:24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression and to make an end of sin and to make what? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. We're living in the Day of Atonement. And your case and my case is coming up. She says this, we are living in the investigative judgment this morning. Every name is mentioned. Every name? Every name, Ron. Every name is mentioned. Every case closely investigated. Names accepted. Names rejected. When any have sins remaining upon the books of record, unrepented of and unforgiven, their names will be blotted out of the book of life. Your case and my case is coming up. So as I started to look and study this a little bit more, I realized in verse 24, to finish transgression, to stop sinning. Whoa, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No! We're at the point in history where we have to stop sinning. There's going to be a group of people that are going to be here on this earth that are going to be perfect like Christ. Do you know that? Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of Himself in His church. And when the character of Christ is perfectly reproduced in His people, then He will come and claim them as His own. There's going to be a group of people sinless. I didn't hear an amen. Are we this part of the group? We need to be part of this group. Sinless. To make the ends of sin. Sin has to stop. And, listen, and to make reconciliation for sin. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter, where is this found? 2 Corinthians 5. This is a text that you're familiar with already. We're just reviewing this morning. Your case is coming up. Your case is coming up. My case is coming up. 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. That means making right with your fellow man. Do you have an ought with a brother or a sister that you haven't reconciled with? Because my brothers and sisters, going to your closet and praying and asking for forgiveness of sin, but if you're not reconciled with the person you've done wrong to, it's incomplete. How do I know? Let's go. Matthew chapter 5. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, thou shalt be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, your prayer life, and there rememberest that thy brother has an ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be what? Reconciled. Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. 3 weeks ago, I started my day with the Lord. Amen? I thank the Lord for waking me up today. I was on fire. Got on my bike, rode to work. I was excited. I was singing my songs, the hymns, as I was riding my bike. When I got to work, I said, praise the Lord, use me in a mighty way today. Amen? So I get in my service vehicle, I'm driving to the School of Nursing, and I'm driving, and there's a guy behind me. He decides to get on the side of me, and then when the light turned green, he started to get in front of me. And as he got in front of me, he stopped to pick somebody up at the corner. And I said, really? You couldn't wait behind me? And I said, it's okay. I'm a happy man today. The Lord started me, and I'm not going to be aggravated. Amen. Amen? You guys know what I'm talking about? We have to deal with this. And so he stopped his car. The girl he was picking up said, hurry up, the guy's behind you. I can read her lips. And I was like, yeah, no problem. So he turns, and I follow him because I got to go to the entrance of the School of Nursing. And as he comes up to the next stop sign, guess what he does? He decides to make a U-turn. And as he makes a U-turn, I'm looking at him. I'm like, really? Again? And as he turns around, we had face to face. And he looked at me like, what? I could see in his expression of his face like, what? Woo! I said, Lord, guide me, strengthen me. I said nothing. I kept my mouth shut. Amen? God kept my mouth shut. Amen. Like he held the mouth of the lions. Amen? I was a lion already. And so I drove off, went to the School of Nursing. I said, Lord, give me victory. As I pull in, one of my co-workers is already there. Now, he's the new guy. And we're training him. So as I pull in to the driveway, I see him, and I knew that he was supposed to be somewhere else in another building. So when I pulled up, I said, hey, what are you doing here? And then he looked at me, the new guy, by the way, I'm training. He said, what are you doing here? And you... I was being set up. in my patience. And I lost it. I lost it. I said, what is, I'll say it very nicely. I said, what kind of a stupid question is that? And he kept his mouth shut and we went about our business. And when I got on the roof of that building, the Lord rebuked me. He said, that wasn't very nice of you as a Christian. The Holy Spirit rebuked me on that roof. Because this man is not an Adventist. You know, my brothers and sisters, that Friday night, well, Friday day, actually, I was on my way to Chino Valley. And the Holy Spirit told me, go make right. Go reconcile with this man. And I was fighting with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, go make right. And I didn't want to do it right then. Because he was wrong to speak to me that way. He's the trainee. And he's to learn that he's on probation. And then the Holy Spirit told me, you're on probation. It took me 3 weeks, my brothers and sisters, to reconcile to this man. And I realize in my life, we're living in the Day of Atonement, and I'm going to be lost because of this issue? No reconciliation? Look at that text. It says, to reconcile with one another, my brothers and sisters. This is part of the Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. We seem to forget, I know the dates, I know this, but you haven't reconciled with your brothers or your sisters or your parents. The end of sin and iniquity and transgression. Your case and my case is coming up. And our great high priest is in the work of investigation. We are now living in the great day of atonement. All. How many? All were required to afflict their souls. And by the way, in Daniel chapter 8, there's enough Bible text that tells us that there is a sanctuary message. You don't have to look. Daniel 9, Leviticus 16, Leviticus 23, Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 14. So I don't see how these theologians can say Daniel 8:14. Sorry. Thank you. We need to be afflicting our souls. Afflicting our souls according to Leviticus chapter 26. Turn with me there. Let's go there. Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. I'm sorry. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 24. Leviticus chapter 23 verse 24 says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have established a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of a trumpet, and holy convocation. Verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and also on the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation, and unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls. Why? Why afflict your soul? For what reason? To examine your life. To examine your heart. To make an offering made unto fire by the Lord. And so we are living in the appointed time. According to the scripture, and in Maranatha 2:50, it says, and at the time appointed for the judgment, the close of the 2300 days, in 1844 began the work of investigation, blotting out of sins. Sins that have not been repented of and forsaken will not be pardoned. But it will stand to witness against the sinner in the day of God. Sins needs to be blotted out. The work of investigation, judgment, the investigative judgment and the blotting out of sin is to be accomplished. Listen, it needs to be accomplished before the second advent of Christ. Not when he comes. It'd be too late. Before. Putting away of sin, transgression, iniquity, to be reconciled with your fellow man, reconciled with God. Your case is coming up. This is not a time to be playing anymore. She says this on Maranatha 250, their robes must be spotless. Their characters must be purified. True character. Because there's a false character. True character is not shaped from without and put on. It radiates from within. If we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, the true principles of righteousness must be enshrined in your hearts. And we know what righteousness means. Psalms 119, 172 and Psalms 119, 151. Righteousness is the law of God. We wish to direct others in the path of righteousness. The true principles of righteousness must be enshrined in our own hearts. We may proclaim the theory of religion, profess to be Christians, profess to be Seventh-day Adventists. We may proclaim the theory of religion, but it is practical piety that holds forth the word of truth. What does piety mean? Obedience to his will, devotion to his service. True piety, the consistent life, the holy conversation, the unswerving integrity, the active benevolent spirit, the godly example. These are the mediums through which light is conveyed to the world. Their robes must be spotless. Their characters purified from sin by the blood of sprinkling. While the investigative judgment is going forward from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work. A special work of purification, of putting away sin. Putting away of sin. And that's why in verse 24 of Daniel 9 says reconciliation. Reconciliation. It means, listen now, it means the means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God. Maranatha 248. For 18 centuries, this work of ministration continued in the first apartment of the sanctuary. The blood of Christ pleaded in behalf of the penitent believer, secured their pardon and acceptance with the Father. Yet, listen, yet, their sins still remain on the books of record. Did you hear that? I'm going to read that again. I want this to be understood here this morning. For 18 centuries, this work of ministration continued in the first apartment of the sanctuary. The blood of Christ pleaded in behalf of the penitent believers, secured their pardon and acceptance with the Father. Yet their sins still remain on the books of record. These sins, my brothers and sisters, this morning needs to be blotted out. It needs to be blotted out. As in the typical service, there was a work of atonement at the close of the year. So before Christ's work for the redemption of man is completed, there is a work of atonement. What does that atonement mean? One with God. Are you with God this morning? Are you at one with God this morning? No hands. You need to understand this for yourself. I need to understand this for myself. Is there anything in my life that is contrary to the will of God? There is a work of atonement for the removal of sin from the sanctuary. This is the service which began when the 2300 days ended. At that time, our high priest entered the most holy place to perform the last division of his solemn work. The devil doesn't want us to know that. That's why he's concocted these false theories that there is no investigative judgment. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about our church. Many of our theologians that are coming out of the seminaries today are not taught, are not teaching the investigative judgment. In fact, this pastor says here, I know many SDA pastors have fundamental theological differences with the pillar of Adventism. The Sabbath, the sanctuary, the investigative judgment, the spirit of prophecy, and the state of the dead. This is in our church. Our pastors teaching supposedly fundamental truth are what? Has a difference. They stepped off the platform. And that's why there's no power. Our case is coming up. There is a work of atonement. My friends, everyone here this morning must be tested. Everyone here must be found without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And that's why the pillars of our foundation of our church, you know them. There are 8 of them. And one of them is victory over sin. But they're not teaching that in our churches today, that we can't have victory over sin. She says, all who have truly repented of sin and by faith claimed the blood of Christ as their atoning sacrifice have had pardon entered against their names in the books of heaven, partakers of the righteousness of Christ, and their characters, here's that word again, characters are to be found in harmony with the law of God. Do you know that that's the only thing you're taking to heaven? Is your character? Amen? Are we truly repenting this morning? Are we being prepared for this stupendous crisis? A storm is coming! Storm is coming, my friends! And you can finish that statement. Relentless in its what? Fury! This storm is coming. And the question that I want to address to all of us this morning, are we prepared? Are we prepared for this storm? The perils of the last days are soon to come upon us. If not, we're in it right now. And the devil's making us think, oh, it's going to get better, I hope. Give us more time. We're not even talking about the second wave yet. A second wave. What second wave? There's going to be a second wave? The perils of the last days are soon to come upon us. We need now the sword of the Lord to cut the very soul and marrow of fleshly lust, appetites, and passion. That means This fleshly lust needs to be cut out. You know what she says in the Desire of Ages? She says, all who are under the training of God is to be revealed a life that is not in harmony with the world, its customs and its practices. Are you under the training of God this morning? Amen? We need to be under the training of God, my friends. This is a critical time in earth history. She says, unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of an active Christian virtue, we shall not recognize the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It might be falling all around us, but we will never receive it nor discern it. Maybe that's why our churches are so divided, because the Holy Spirit is not working in the hearts of the people. The Bible teaches that we should be holy. Holy people. I'll just be holy today, 24 hours. Is that okay? Huh? And then when the sun goes down, I'm going to live like the world. It's not possible. It's not possible. You shall be holy. 365 days out of the year. Amen? Our efforts, our self-denial, our perseverance must be proportionate to the infinite. Turn with me to Galatians, quickly. I don't know when I started. I don't know what time it is. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to give two more texts, then we're going to close. Amen? I know we started late. We didn't start at 11:30. I think we started at quarter till. All right. Are you there? Galatians chapter 5. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. How many of you are here possessed by witchcraft? Are you sure? Huh? I'm going to say that again. How many of you are here this morning are possessed by witchcraft? None, right? You sure? For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. So if God is telling us, don't watch it, and you watch it, what are you? Are you in rebellion? God said, don't eat it, and you eat it. Don't drink it. Don't drink soda. Soda's bad for you. You know what I'm talking about, my brothers and sisters. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Continuing. Hatred, variance, emulations. What's that word, emulations? Emulations also means I'm better than you. I'm going to beat you. Sports. I'm going to beat you up. Wrath, strife, sedition. These are the fleshly lusts that we need to eliminate from our lives this morning. We are living in the great day of atonement. All were required to afflict their souls by repentance of sin and humiliation before the Lord. Afflict their souls before God by sorrow for sin and true repentance. There must be a deep, faithful searching of our hearts this morning. Our case is coming up. And in order to receive help from Christ this morning, we must realize our need. You feel the need for Christ? I need the need for Christ this morning. We must have a true knowledge of ourselves. Do people see Christ in you this morning? Do they see Jesus' face in you? It is only he who knows himself to be a sinner that Christ can save. I am so grateful that the Holy Spirit was working on my heart. Amen? To reconcile with my fellow man, because I am a proud man. I wasn't going to lower myself and say, I'm sorry for acting like that. I was too proud. I was to be abased. I was to be brought to the foot of the cross. It took agony. You know, in the real world, they would have said, teach that guy a lesson. He's on probation. But when the Holy Spirit showed me that I was on probation, it sobered me up. It sobered me up. At every advanced step heavenward, heaven is to be renewed. All our good works are dependent on a power outside of ourselves. We have nothing good in ourselves. There's no light in us. Ellen White tells us in Mount of Blessing, if Christ is dwelling in the heart, it is impossible to conceal the light of his presence. If those who profess to be followers of Christ are not the light of the world, it is because the vital power has left them. And if they don't have light to give, it is because there's no connection to the source of light. Are you dwelling with Christ this morning? I'm going to close with this statement. All our good works are dependent on a power outside of ourselves. Therefore, there needs to be a continual reaching out after God, a constant, earnest confession of sin and humbling of the soul before Him. My friends, we're living in a perilous time right now. And our case is coming up. My Bible tells me that I need to be reconciled. Why? Because God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It is my prayer this morning that you go home and study for yourself the sanctuary message, because it is a message that we all need to understand in the position and the work that is required to God's people. Let us kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful, Lord, for the privilege you've given us to look into your word. I know we went quickly through it, Lord, but I pray that you will place it in each heart this morning, that they will hunger and thirst after your righteousness. For we're living in perilous time, as the scripture says. Dangerous times. Help us not to get caught up being a lackadaisical Christian, but Lord, to be on fire for you. To tell the world that you are coming very soon. And more importantly, Lord, to get our lives right with you. Forgive us where we've fallen. Forgive us where we've neglected our part. Create in us a clean heart. Renew our right spirit within us. Father, I pray that you will bless each one today that as we continue to prepare for this great day when you come in the clouds of heaven. Lord, thank you for the blessings today. Thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for the opportunity that we can come boldly to your throne of grace to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, accept this service this morning, that your name will be lifted up and glorified. We love you, Lord. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. All these things we ask in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.